Thank you all for coming. It's the Senate Democrats here to talk about our fiscal 14 budget and a little bit of 15. And we want to put into place here a sustainable budget that's stable over time and sustainable over time, but yet reflects the values and the needs that we have in this state. So I think that's what this budget does. And we're trying to expand the middle class in Iowa, and we have a unique opportunity now with the way the revenues are coming in. We had a lot of consultation with all our members who are serving on appropriations subcommittees to talk about their individual budgets and incorporated in there a lot of their ideas on how we want to move the state forward. So this is a good, solid, sustainable, prudent budget for the state.
How much money did you provide for the Regents so that tuition may be frozen?
That is another budget detail situation, but I think the we provided decent funding for the Regents.
Well, they said they provided
We've provided targets for our subcommittee chairs here. We have not made all the decisions down the list. The individual committees will make those decisions in the coming weeks.
Senator Shane John and his group will look at that and move forward.
So they're below the governor, you're above the governor. Is the governor sort of the middle ground here?
We've tried to craft a budget that is sustainable. Under Iowa law, we could spend 99% of available revenues. We spend 94.66% of available revenues. So we spend significantly less than the law allows us to spend. But overall, we've tried to have a budget that reflects Iowa's priorities.
Did you talk about returning excess revenue to taxpayers? Are the Democrats proposing to do that?
We have included in our calculations a property tax relief effort targeted to commercial property taxes. We have included in our projections earned income tax credit for Iowans of about $55 million. So yes, we agree. The current state treasury allows for some targeted tax relief that will help grow Iowa's economy and also allows us some targeted investment in things that will also grow Iowa's economy, like filling the skilled worker shortage.
Does your plan assume that Medicaid will be expanded in Iowa?
We have increased the human service budget by about $68 million. So you have to remember, Medicaid expansion does not cost the state anything for the next 3 years. It actually saves us money and will inject about $4.5 billion additional dollars into Iowa's health systems over the next 5 years. So it's actually a cost savings to the state.
The truth is the governor's budget costs us more on health care.
Again, our budget targets are reflecting the priorities that our subcommittee chairs came to us with and what their needs and priorities were within each of these different budget measures. We tried to satisfy a budget that would reflect our values, reflect a means to grow the middle class, and a budget we believe is sustainable long term.
So the 68 million increase in human services, that's just for natural growth in Medicaid?
Some of it is, but it's also for other priorities that the people that serve on that budget subcommittee have come to us with.
Mental health and other situations.
Others can help with that.
I don't know specifically. That's another one where they've been meeting for several weeks. They'll continue to meet, and that's their job to look at those situations.
Let me repeat. We established a target for the Human Services Budget Subcommittee. That's Senator Dvorsky's role as chair and the two leaders to set that target. The individual budget subcommittees have a lot of decisions to make in the coming weeks to abide by these targets. This is still not an easy budget, but again, we think it reflects the priorities of Iowans and it reflects an effort to grow Iowa's middle class.
Does it include 4% allowable growth?
Yes, it does.
Yes, 4%.
If you're 300 different from the governor and a lot more different from the House Republicans, and their target is 2% allowable growth, the governor's was zero, how far apart are you and how big of a gap do you have to close here?
Let me repeat. We have set targets that we think are responsible, sustainable, spend well over $300 million less than the law would allow us to spend, and we're investing in things that we think will grow and support Iowa's middle class.
How much does the earned income tax credit grow? Does it double?
$55 million.
But
from
7%,
from 7% to 20%.
20% of the federal credit.
Credit.
Okay. And
that's approximately $55 million.
And then you also do $50 million for property tax?
That's correct.
At the risk of
getting too far into the details,
right.
Property tax is 18 months out, so the credits show up in our budget in fiscal 15, not in fiscal 14.
Do you raise the cap on tax credits, and how much DED incentives do you provide for?
Let's let our committees make those decisions.
Well, the
but,
cap
but,
issues.
But the answer is yes. The answer is they will juggle their budget target with the available resources, and that's part of the consideration. I feel confident to say we allow that cap to go up.
You're far apart from the Republicans. Are we going to be sitting here on June 30th again?
I don't know.
What kind of message are you hoping to send the governor with your target?
We're not sending messages here. We've assembled a budget that's about growing Iowa's middle class.
Senator Dvorsky, the Republicans are very keen on not using ending balances, that they want to give that all back. Can you tell us how much your budget includes ending balance?
We're following the law, the 99% law, and we're spending just under 95%.
But you can't tell me,
I don't have the number, but we're following the law. The law says we can go up to 99%. We're not even near 99%. We're at 94.6%.
And what will your ending balance be on June 30th of 2014?
Yeah, that's more details. We'll get those later.
Is your tax reductions coming out of the general fund? Because Republicans don't really take their revenue reductions out of the general fund. It doesn't show up as spending. It essentially is...
Yes, I agree the Republicans have a dishonest budget in that respect.
Ours
will be reflected in the general fund.
We believe that those kinds of tax cuts need to be part of our budget ledger, and we need to account for those tax cuts, and our budget reflects our efforts to reduce commercial property tax and to increase the earned income tax credit.
Was the governor's budget honest?
Let me repeat. The governor has proposed a budget.
We are
proposing a budget that is not in response to the governor, not in response to the House. It's in response to what we think Iowans need and would be good to grow Iowa's middle class. That's what this budget is. It's not about the governor. It's not about the House. It's about what we think
it's
is appropriate
proposal.
For Iowans. Targeted investments in tax credits that will help grow our economy. Targeted investments in state efforts to grow Iowa's middle class. Skilled worker shortage. Pardon me? We're not going to. I don't talk about things that are still in collective bargaining negotiations.
But did you put anything in these numbers for salaries and benefits?
We certainly have adequate resources to meet
whatever we might project
that number to be. To attempt to project that number and say it out loud is, in our view, undermining the collective bargaining process.
But
so
whether you're salaried or not is not part of collective bargaining. That's about legislative process.
My point is, if you're going to ask me to name a number, I'm not.
I didn't ask.
But you did account for it.
We did account for this in our calculation. The more detailed question you ask me, the closer we get to actually saying a number, and I'm not going to say a number.
We believe
that our budget provides sufficient resources and sufficient savings to meet whatever obligations may come out of a binding arbitration that we should see relatively soon.
So you need some leadership from the governor on that situation, too.
So you built in a number. They said they put zero in.
I don't think that's very reflective of the collective bargaining process.
But you put a number in and they didn't, right?
No, we did not put a number in. We believe we have enough and resources to cover whatever might be the eventuality that comes out of a binding arbitration
case. You put a range in?
Any other questions?
I'm not going to answer the question.
No, Senator Grassl, I don't care about a number. Let me ask it this way. Might there be a salary bill later?
We believe it's appropriate to have a salary bill unless you want to, again, be dishonest about the process and suggest that we're going to hire X number of prison guards, but that the Department of Corrections has to absorb the costs of those guards inside their existing budget means you're not going to hire X number of guards. That's not honest budgeting.
One more question.
So my point is, yes, we believe we'll have enough resources to cover whatever the binding arbitration agreement would come up with.
The Republicans say that their budget would cover the cost of the governor's education reform plan in the first year. Would yours?
In the first year, it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
They say there's $10 million in there for his plan.
$10 million? Well, his plan was 14, so they've already underfunded the governor's plan, I guess. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.